Chapter 143. Mr. Poet looked dubiously at Bob Sawyer for some seconds, and, turning to Mr. Pickwick, said, "You have seen the literary articles which have appeared at intervals in the Yatansville Gazette in the course of the last 3 months, and which have excited such general, I may say such universal attention and admiration." ? Replied Mr. Pickwick, slightly embarrassed by the question. "The fact is, I have been so much engaged in other ways, that I really have not had an opportunity of perusing them." ? You should do so, sir, said Poet, with a severe countenance. "I will," said Mr. Pickwick. They appeared in the form of a copious review of a work on Chinese metaphysics, sir, said Poet. "Oh," observed Mr. Pickwick. "From your pen, I hope?" From the pen of my critic, sir, rejoined Poet, with dignity. "An abstruse subject, I should conceive," said Mr. Pickwick. "Very, sir," responded Poet, looking intensely sage. "He crammed for it, to use a technical but expressive term. He read up for the subject, at my desire, in the Encyclopedia Britannica." ? Indeed. Said Mr. Pickwick. "I was not aware that that valuable work contained any information respecting Chinese metaphysics." He read, sir, rejoined Poet, laying his hand on Mr. Pickwick's knee, and looking round with a smile of intellectual superiority. "He read for metaphysics under the letter M, and for China under the letter C, and combined his information, sir." Mr. Poet's features assumed so much additional grandeur at the recollection of the power and research displayed in the learned effusions in question, that some minutes elapsed before Mr. Pickwick felt emboldened to renew the conversation. At length, as the editor's countenance gradually relaxed into its customary expression of moral supremacy, he ventured to resume the discourse by asking, "Is it fair to inquire what great object has brought you so far from home?" That object which actuates and animates me in all my gigantic labors, sir, replied Poet, with a calm smile. "My country's good." I supposed it was some public mission, observed Mr. Pickwick. "Yes, sir," resumed Poet, "it is." Here, bending towards Mr. Pickwick, he whispered in a deep, hollow voice, "Above all, sir, will take place in Birmingham tomorrow evening." God bless me. Exclaimed Mr. Pickwick. "Yes, sir, and supper," added Poet. "You don't say so." Ejaculated Mr. Pickwick. Poet nodded portentously. Now, although Mr. Pickwick feigned to stand aghast at this disclosure, he was so little versed in local politics that he was unable to form an adequate comprehension of the importance of the dire conspiracy it referred to. Observing which, Mr. Poet, drawing forth the last number of the Yatansville Gazette, and referring to the same, delivered himself of the following paragraph. "Hole and Corner Buffery. A reptile contemporary has recently sweltered forth his black venom in the vain and hopeless attempt of sullying the fair name of our distinguished and excellent representative, the Honorable Mr. Slumkey, that Slumkey whom we, long before he gained his present noble and exalted position, predicted would one day be, as he now is, at once his country's brightest honor and her proudest boast. Alike her bold defender and her honest pride, our reptile contemporary, we say, has made himself merry, at the expense of a superbly embossed plated coal scuttle, which has been presented to that glorious man by his enraptured constituents, and towards the purchase of which, the nameless wretch insinuates, the Honorable Mr. Slumkey himself contributed, through a confidential friend of his butler's, more than 3/4 of the whole sum subscribed. Why, does not the crawling creature see, that even if this be the fact, the Honorable Mr. Slumkey only appears in a still more amiable, and radiant light than before, if that be possible? Does not even his obtuseness perceive, that this amiable and touching desire to carry out the wishes of the constituent body, must forever endear him to the hearts, and souls of such of his fellow townsmen as are not worse than swine, or, in other words, who are not as debased as our contemporary himself? But such is the wretched trickery of hole and corner buffery. These are not its only artifices. Treason is abroad. We boldly state, now that we are goaded to the disclosure, and we throw ourselves on the country and its constables for protection, we boldly state that secret preparations are at this moment in progress for a buff ball, which is to be held in a buff town, in the very heart and center of a buff population, which is to be conducted by a buff master of the ceremonies, which is to be attended by 4 ultra-buff members of Parliament, and the admission to which is to be by buff tickets. Does our fiendish contemporary wince? Let him writhe, in impotent malice, as we pen the words, we will be there. Apostrophe, there, sir, apostrophe, said poet, folding up the paper quite exhausted, that is the state of the case. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the landlord and waiter entering at the moment with dinner, caused Mr. Poet to lay his finger on his lips, in token that he considered his life in Mr. Pickwick's hands, and depended on his secrecy. Messrs. Bob Sawyer and Benjamin Allen, who had irreverently fallen asleep during the reading of the quotation from the Atansville Gazette, and the discussion which followed it, were roused by the mere whispering of the talismanic word dinner in their ears, and to dinner they went with good digestion waiting on appetite, and health on both, and a waiter on all three. In the course of the dinner, and the sitting which succeeded it, Mr. Poet descending, for a few moments, to domestic topics, informed Mr. Pickwick that the heir of Atansville not agreeing with his lady, she was then engaged in making a tour of different fashionable watering places with a view to the recovery of her wonted health and spirits. This was a delicate veiling of the fact that Mrs. Poet, acting upon her often repeated threat of separation, had, in virtue of an arrangement negotiated by her brother, the lieutenant, and concluded by Mr. Poet, permanently retired with the faithful bodyguard upon one moiety or half part of the annual income, and profits arising from the editorship and sale of the Atansville Gazette. While the great Mr. Poet was dwelling upon this and other matters, enlivening the conversation from time to time with various extracts from his own lucubrations, a stern stranger, calling from the window of a stagecoach, outward bound, which halted at the inn to deliver packages, requested to know whether if he stopped short on his journey and remained there for the night, he could be furnished with the necessary accommodation of a bed and bedstead. Certainly, sir, apostrophe, replied the landlord. I can I? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired the stranger, who seemed habitually suspicious in look and manner. No doubt of it, sir, apostrophe, replied the landlord. Good, apostrophe, said the stranger. Coachman, I get down here. Guard, my carpet bag. Apostrophe, apostrophe, bidding the other passengers good night, in a rather snappish manner, the stranger alighted. He was a shortish gentleman, with very stiff black hair cut in the porcupine or blacking brush style, and standing stiff and straight all over his head. His aspect was pompous and threatening, his manner was peremptory, his eyes were sharp and restless, and his whole bearing bespoke a feeling of great confidence in himself, and a consciousness of immeasurable superiority over all other people. This gentleman was shown into the room originally assigned to the patriotic Mr. Poet, and the waiter remarked, in dumb astonishment at the singular coincidence, that he had no sooner lighted the candles than the gentleman, diving into his hat, drew forth a newspaper, and began to read it with the very same expression of indignant scorn, which, upon the majestic features of Poet, had paralyzed his energies an hour before. The man observed, too, that, whereas Mr. Poet's scorn had been roused by a newspaper, Editiot Hanswill Independent, this gentleman's withering contempt was awakened by a newspaper, entitled The Hanswill Gazette. Send the landlord, apostrophe said the stranger. Yes, sir, apostrophe rejoined the waiter. The landlord was sent, and came. Are you the landlord? Apostrophe inquired the gentleman. I am, sir, apostrophe replied the landlord. My name is Slurk, apostrophe said the gentleman. The landlord slightly inclined his head. Slurk, sir, apostrophe repeated the gentleman haughtily. Do you know me now, man? Apostrophe, the landlord scratched his head, looked at the ceiling, and at the stranger, and smiled feebly. Do you know me, man? Apostrophe, inquired the stranger angrily. The landlord made a strong effort, and at length replied, Well, sir, I do not know you. Apostrophe, great heaven! Apostrophe, said the stranger, dashing his clenched fist upon the table. And this is popularity. Apostrophe, the landlord took a step or two towards the door. The stranger, fixing his eyes upon him, resumed. This, apostrophe said the stranger, this is gratitude for years of labor and study in behalf of the masses. I alight wet and weary. No enthusiastic crowds press forward to greet their champion. The church bells are silent. The very name elicits no responsive feeling in their torpid bosoms. It is enough, apostrophe said the agitated Mr. Slurk, pacing to and fro, to curdle the ink in one's pen, and induce one to abandon their cause forever. Apostrophe, did you say brandy and water, sir? Apostrophe, said the landlord, venturing a hint. Rum, apostrophe said Mr. Slurk, turning fiercely upon him. Have you got a fire anywhere? Apostrophe, we can light one directly, sir, apostrophe said the landlord. Which will throw out no heat until it is bedtime, apostrophe interrupted Mr. Slurk. Is there anybody in the kitchen? Apostrophe, not a soul. There was a beautiful fire. Everybody had gone, and the house door was closed for the night. I will drink my rum and water, apostrophe said Mr. Slurk, by the kitchen fire. Apostrophe so, gathering up his hat and newspaper, he stalked solemnly behind the landlord to that humble apartment, and throwing himself on a settle by the fireside, resumed his countenance of scorn, and began to read, and drink in silent dignity. Now, some demon of discord, flying over the Saracen's head at that moment, on casting down his eyes in mere idle curiosity, happened to behold Slurk established comfortably by the kitchen fire, and Poet slightly elevated with wine in another room, upon which the malicious demon, darting down into the last-mentioned apartment with inconceivable rapidity, passed at once into the head of Mr. Bob Sawyer, and prompted him for his, the demon's, own evil purpose to speak as follows. I say, we've let the fire out. It's uncommonly cold after the rain, isn't it? Apostrophe, it really is, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick, shivering. It wouldn't be a bad notion, to have a cigar by the kitchen fire, would it? Apostrophe, said Bob Sawyer, still prompted by the demon aforesaid. It would be particularly comfortable, I think, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick. Apostrophe, Mr. Poet, what do you say? Apostrophe, Mr. Poet yielded a ready assent, and all four travelers, each with his glass in his hand, at once betook themselves to the kitchen, with Sam Weller heading the procession, to show them the way. The stranger was still reading. He looked up and started. Mr. Poet started. What's the matter? Apostrophe, whispered Mr. Pickwick. That reptile. Apostrophe, replied Poet. What reptile? Apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, looking about him for fear he should tread on some overgrown black beetle or dropsical spider. That reptile, apostrophe whispered Poet, catching Mr. Pickwick by the arm, and pointing towards the stranger. That reptile Slurk, of the Independent. Apostrophe, apostrophe, perhaps we had better retire, apostrophe whispered Mr. Pickwick. Never, sir, apostrophe rejoined poet, Potvaliant in a double sense never. Apostrophe with these words, Mr. Poet took up his position on an opposite settle, and selecting one from a little bundle of newspapers, began to read against his enemy. Mr. Poet, of course, read the Independent, and Mr. Slurk, of course, read the Gazette, and each gentleman audibly expressed his contempt at the other's compositions by bitter laughs and sarcastic sniffs, whence they proceeded to more open expressions of opinion, such as absurd, apostrophe wretched, atrocity, humbug, knavery, dirt, apostrophe filth, slime, ditch water, and other critical remarks of the like nature. Both Mr. Bob Sawyer and Mr. Ben Allen had beheld these symptoms of rivalry and hatred, with a degree of delight which imparted great additional relish to the cigars at which they were puffing most vigorously. The moment they began to flag, the mischievous Mr. Bob Sawyer, addressing Slurk with great politeness, said, "Will you allow me to look at your paper, sir, when you have Gutenberg edition?" End of chapter.